Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shreveport political analyst Scott Hughes joining us. Scott, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike and Aaron.
Morning.
Thank you for joining us. Aaron was kind of surprised, or not surprised, actually, that Senator Cassidy decided not to join the debate on the Moon Griffon show. I was kind of surprised. I really thought he would do that. What did you think? Were you surprised at his refusal?
No, I never thought that he would go on the Moon Griffon show and do a debate. I would actually question if it's a fair debate by the typical debate rules we look at. I think when you look at the Moon Griffon show, and I'm not trashing the Moon Griffon show. I like Moon. I listen to him every day. But it's a very partisan, very far-right show. And I think Cassidy is trying to appeal to base. I think he looks at that audience of the Moon Griffon show and says, and I'll use a political term, I think Matt Kay, who you have on, has used it before. He looks at audience and says, that's an ADC audience. That's an anybody but Cassidy. And so he goes and does that show, and there's no chance he reaches out to any voter that probably would vote for him. He might get a few. There's a few that might say, I'd give him the chance. But he wants to reach out to a broader audience, particularly to more moderate Republicans. And to be honest, what he's really looking for is to reach out to independents. I think that's who's going to decide this race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically what Aaron said. It's a no-win situation. He's not going to go into that audience and change any minds. But, you know, the same
correct.
Could
and
be
he's,
said.
And he's not saying he's not going to debate. He's saying I'm not going to debate on that show.
Right.
He's still calling for 3 statewide TV debates. And so I think that, but yet the two candidates that would be opposite of him, Letlow and John Fleming, that is their audience. They are fighting for that audience. Which one of them will be the choice of the far right political voters here in Louisiana in this close primary?
Didn't you find it a little hypocritical of him, though, to say, I'm talking about Senator Cassidy, to say, you know, we need to be transparent, we need to be accessible, et cetera, when 6 years ago, there was no accessibility. He refused to debate Adrian Perkins. And when we asked him about that, he said, well, that was a different race. I was 20 points ahead. I didn't need to debate then. Well, now you do because you're in trouble. Wasn't that a little hypocritical?
Well, I'm going to say, I understand your question, but I'm going to say really no. It's hard to be hypocritical when you're being asked a question on live radio, which you come and do frequently. He does other media, and he's also agreeing that he will do live TV debates. So I don't see it as hypocritical. I see it as political. I see it as strategic. He sees it nothing more than a trap. And again, I do listen to Moon Griffon every day. And Moon personally has attacked him and called him names. I know Moon, and Moon will back up for an hour, and he will play the nice host. But the second he's not on the show, then Moon's going to call him names again. So it's not really a friendly audience for him. But then let's go to the second question. Those who are calling for transparency, why won't they do a televised debate for the entire state in prime time? So if you're going to call one side hypocritical, then you got – now, the one person who's not hypocritical is John Fleming. Let's be fair. Fleming has said anywhere, anytime, any format. Mm-hmm. So I want to give John Fleming credit. But the other two, Cassidy and Letlow – seem to be playing only in my backyard, but you know, and it's my ball, I set the rules, kind of a strategy.
Do you think with only Fleming and Letlow in the debate, it's kind of anticlimactic, or do you think people will go, let me see what they have to say?
No, I really, to be honest, Mike, I think that is the race right now, because many may disagree with me, but I personally see no way that Cassidy does not make the runoff. And he knows that, and he's running as an incumbent. He's running like a person that's going to be in the runoff. To understand that, there may be a few more minor candidates, but if as long as Cassidy gets 33% or probably about 25, 26%, he's in the runoff. And so I think he has one of the two spots. He knows that. So what you really have in this first round is you have Fleming fighting for which one will be in the runoff with him. Then we get to the second round, which would be the real race for U.S. Senate. The finals in the Republican closed primary will be the deciding vote for who will be our U.S. Senator. But I'll go out on a limb here, and I personally think that Letlow's the one that's probably trying to really walk the line, because I put Cassidy in the finals, and I really think quietly John Fleming is going to beat Julia Letlow. I think we're going to see a Cassidy-Fleming final when we get to that Republican runoff.
So why don't they move forward, Cassidy and Fleming, and lets the two of us do a statewide televised debate. She won't show. We'll do it without her.
Well, and that I think what you're seeing, though, is Cassidy, I think, believes that his greatest threat is Letlow. This race may set up a lot like the Texas Senate race with Cornyn and Paxton, where you have a fairly, moderate Republican, traditional Republican in the incumbency seat, and you have someone trying to defeat them from what would be considered the far right. And I think that Cassidy is looking ahead. I think he, if he gets in a race against Fleming, he knows that race, he likes that race. And then if he gets it, but Letlow's the one he's more concerned with in the runoff. That's the whole reason Trump endorsed her. It's the whole reason she was added to the race. They're concerned that Fleming cannot beat Cassidy in the runoff. And so they want a more moderate candidate, which is definitely Letlow. Fleming is the most conservative candidate in this race. There's no question on that. So they want a more moderate to kind of box Cassidy in a little more there to the central part. And that's why Cassidy is only concerned with Letlow. He'd like to knock her out in the first round and face Fleming, which ironically is the same thing Fleming wants, too. Only one person wants her to get to the second round. That's her.
Now, I've heard, and obviously you disagree with this, so I've got kind of a two-part question for you. I've heard those that say Letlow's going to win this outright. There's not even going to be a runoff. Obviously, you don't agree with that at all.
I see no way. I bet my mortgage that nobody wins this outright. I see no way. The issue that a lot of people are missing is it's a closed Republican primary. Yes. But the party has allowed independent, we call them independents, but they're really non-party now officially. But they're allowing the non-party voters, non-Democrats, as I'll say it that way, to come in and vote. And we don't really have a feel of what that turnout is going to be, both this first time through, because we have no numbers to look at. Last time he ran closed primaries was, quite frankly, 20 years ago when Fleming won the congressional seat. He was the one that got elected in the closed primary system. And so we have no idea what that independent turnout is going to be. And then the second part is, even if we have a feel for what turnout would be when people can choose, independents can choose Democrat ballot or Republican ballot, there's nothing on the Democratic ballot side. So I think a lot of independents who might go vote Democrat normally because they just like that candidate better, there's no candidate sitting over there. And so if you look at the statewide numbers, there's roughly 1 million registered Republicans. There's roughly 1 million registered Democrats, and there's 900,000 independents. And those 900,000 independents, they can all go vote in the Republican primary. And I don't think that some of these far-right candidates will be their candidate of choice. And so that's what Cassidy's banking on. He's trying to get those independents who are going to go vote, because there's other things on the ballot, to ask for the Republican ticket. And then he's hoping that he can survive and get a lot of that independent vote.
Okay, real quick, Scott Hughes, because we got to take a break. You see a Cassidy-Fleming runoff. Who wins?
I think in a Cassidy-Fleming runoff, I think Cassidy wins. I think you get into the same thing over in Texas at Paxton and Cornyn. It's very hard sometimes for a far-right, you know, very conservative candidate to overcome the more general box that would be that day. Now, that election would be in the middle of summer, so it's going to get very interesting. I think is quietly the sleeper candidate in this race. That would be a very close race. But the two, that's the race Cassidy wants. Cassidy wants to be against Fleming because there's more of an opening between the two of them. If you've got Letlow, to be honest, she's not much different than Cassidy in politics. And so the only thing that you have there then is people that just don't want Cassidy. But if Fleming doesn't make the runoff, you have to ask yourself, what is the far right? What are the real conservatives going to do? Are they going to come out and vote in that race, Letlow versus Cassidy? I don't think they come out and vote. That's going to be a lot of the problem you're going to see over in Texas. Mm-hmm. Will they come out and vote? And that's why they were so concerned that Paxton got in the race. But now that he's in the race, it gives an advantage to Cornyn because he's the more moderate candidate. I think that's the race that Cassidy wants. He wants Fleming, and I'm not sure Fleming can beat him head up.
Let's talk about the Shreveport mayor's race when we come back.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Scott Hughes on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport political analyst Scott Hughes on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Scott, let's switch gears, talk about the mayor's race. We now have six candidates in the mayor's race. How do you see this shaking out?
Well, ironically, in some regards, it got better for Tom Arce. The more candidates that get in, the easier it is for the incumbent to move to the second round, which is really, you know, no one's going to win this on the first ballot. And so the key is to get to the second round, be one of those two. And so when I look at the recent announcement, that's really all I look at. And I don't think that former Commissioner Michael Williams, who all of us know in politics, who've known Michael a long time, very likable person, but has just proven to not really be at this point electable. I don't know why he's getting in the race, but I look at it and have to look at the impact of that. And I think the first impact of that is I say, there's nobody that was going to vote for Tom Arsenault that says, oh, thank goodness Michael Williams is in the race. So this doesn't hurt Tom Arsenault at all. What it does is, if Michael Williams gets votes, and I don't know what he's going to get. Typically with a candidate, you look at someone like this, and Michael has held office at least three different times. He's probably worth 5 to 7% maybe on the high end, but that's an important 5 to 7% if you're Stormy Gage Watts, if you're Tammy Phelps. To a degree, maybe John Paul Young, but I don't know that he has much of a chance either in this race. And so I look at it and I say, what all Michael's entry in the race does, to be honest, is really hurt the two female Democratic candidates. Because whatever vote Michael's going to get, that's where it's coming from. And those are the two that are in the real race to figure out which one of them is going to make the finals against Tom Arsenault.
Who do you see in the finals? Who do you see are the final two?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when we first started, you obviously would have said Stormy Gage Watts. But then you've seen two significant announcements. First, you saw John Paul Young. So he comes in, and that is someone that's going to probably attract younger voters. Even though John Paul's a registered Republican, I think he has a lot of crossover appeal in some neighborhoods, particularly the Highland neighborhood and some areas and some causes. And then Tammy Phelps gets in. And that really now kind of splits what would be the Democratic vote, the African-American vote. You can even say the women vote. And remember, the two largest voting blocks in any election are white women and black women. Those just demographically are the largest voting blocks. And so that's where the real race is. And so every other candidate you throw in the race is pulling from one of those right now. I think John Paul pulled a little from Arsenault, but Tom was never going to win this outright the first ballot. So that's not a real threat. And so right now, I would probably go Tammy Phelps, only because I think of the rest of the field. Tom Arsenault is the mayor, legitimate political candidate, can raise money, has run campaigns. I think if I look at the rest of this, the only other one that's really ever run a significant campaign is Tammy Phelps, can have financial backing. I saw some of the people that showed up at her event. And so right now, I think she would probably have the leg up to make the finals. And remember, this one is not the same cycle as that U.S. Senate race we just talked about. This one doesn't even run the first time until November, the day of the final Senate ballot. And so this is a November-December election. So we have a long time to go here. It's going to be a long campaign. But you're also looking at who can turn voters out in November, where there will be a big Democratic vote at the box in November. But then you get to December, and the turnout will drop off dramatically in December.
I'm hearing that one or two may not even qualify. Are you hearing the same, and which ones are maybe on the bubble now thinking, maybe I ought to not do this?
Well, Aaron, you've known me a long time, and I never put anybody in or out of a race. And you know, you and I both have heard these names for a long time, and I never once mentioned until someone put themselves in the race. So I'm only mentioning these six names because they've all publicly said they intend to run. I really don't expect them all to run, and personally, I'm hoping they don't all run, because as we just discussed, all some of these names do is mess up the race for others. I really see no path forward. To be honest, there's no path forward for Michael Mays, for John Paul Young, and you could argue Michael Williams. The three of them are just doing it for other reasons. Maybe they have an issue. Maybe they just want to look for something in the future. But there's really three legitimate candidates that have a chance, I think, to win this race, and that's Arsenault, that's Gage Watts, and that's Tammy Phelps. And so I think the three of them will file. The one that I'm watching most closely is, what does Stormy Gage Watts do? She was really the first to announce, besides the mayor, you could argue. but she's been the most hurt by everyone else getting into the race. And I really think that her campaign is going to get squeezed. And again, I think that if you want to beat an incumbent mayor, let's go there. Everyone but Tom Arsenault is running to beat Tom Arsenault. If you want to beat an incumbent mayor, a well-funded incumbent mayor, who's got a pretty decent report card, if you're fair politically, you really need to figure out which candidate you're going to back. You don't beat an incumbent by running five candidates.
But Stormy Gage Watts hasn't. Stormy Gage Watts hasn't shown up for some of the forums that they've had. For the one or two that they've done, she was a no-show. Does that concern you that she might not be in this anymore?
Well, again, I don't put people in or out, but I do. But I'll say this: I've not seen much from her campaign from the day she announced it, and there are also residency issues with Stormy. So she's going to have a. And remember, I'd have to go back and look. I think she's term limited out, but running for this office could cost you running for another office. And while we're talking mayor, and let's look at a couple of these candidates. They've announced for mayor, but we also have seven council seats sitting over here, some of which don't have many really good races set up yet. So there may be a point where some of these people decide, if I'm really interested in the issues of the city, mayor's not the path. Maybe I step back one step and I file for a city council race. That's why I really try to wait until filing date, which doesn't even come in this race until summer. I think we get into June, July when the filing actually takes place. And so I really want to wait till we see who files. We've joked before. I think if Tom has a problem, it's from the far right, not from any of the candidates who've announced yet. I don't expect anyone's going to surprise file against Tom, but that's where his only threat would come from. I think of what we've seen of the five candidates, they're all fighting for the same voter. We need to look at their realistic chances to raise money, run a campaign, and then ultimately forge what would be a significant opposition to Arsenault. If not, Tom's just sitting there right now, almost guaranteed to move to the second round, and quite frankly, liking his chances on a December ballot right now.
Well, there's more I want to ask, but we're against the clock. Scott, thank you so much. We appreciate you and your input.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.org.
Now, breaking news and trending talk with Micah McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You had a story in the news that they're... Is banning the right word? Transgender athletes from the Olympics? Are they or not allowing them to compete?
Right. They're not going to allow them to compete after the IOC made their ruling. They've decided that transgender women athletes will now be excluded from the Olympics.
Okay, so that means they're men.
Right.
See, I don't think you need to ban them. Let them compete. But if you're a man, compete with the men.
Right, exactly.
But if you're not good enough to compete with the men and you have to compete with women, no.
It's just not fair.
No, of course it's not fair.
It's not fair at all. Because, A, we don't know how far along the process. There's just so many things that have changed.
How can anybody have any self-respect standing on a podium accepting a medal when you're competing unfairly? How can you take any pride in that at all? I just, that's just absurd.
And look, some people are going to hate me for saying this. I understand some people don't fit the body they were born in. I get that. But the moment your rights infringe on my rights is when I have the problem. And I've been training for this Olympic sport for 20 years.
Yeah, thank you. My daughter went to the Olympic time trials in swimming.
Right.
And fortunately, she didn't have to deal with this back in that time. But I as a dad of a female athlete at a high level.
Sure.
I totally can relate with Riley Gaines and volleyball player that got smashed in the face and had to have surgery for crying out loud because a man slammed a ball into her face.
I mean, who shouldn't have even been playing.
Who shouldn't have even been there on the court. So, yeah, you don't have to ban them from the Olympics, but you compete with the men.
Right.
That's you're not good enough?
You have different bone structure. You have different muscular structure. All that. And doctors would tell you that. Doctors would say that.
Of course. Anybody with any common sense would say that.
And those rights for you are now infringing on rights for others. And that's where we have the problem. You want to go be a girl and all the rest of your life? Knock yourself out. That's fine. Do what you got to do.
Right.
I don't think it's cool. I don't think it's usually right. But you're not infringing on my... You're not hurting me. You go be you.
Unless you want me to play into your fantasy. Don't get mad at me.
Right. For continuing to call you a boy.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
I get it.
Thanks.
I get it.
Okay, Charlie. Yeah. Mike Spence, clerk of court, going to join us after the news top of the hour. There's what has he got on tap?
Well, you're closing in on a deadline. If you want to vote in the Senate race in the Republican primary and you're not a registered Republican or no party candidate, he'll explain what the deadline is. If you want to vote in that race, what you have to do now to get it done.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710Keel.com.
Back with more McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Baby carrot update. Baby carrot update. Ice storm food update. Aaron, those baby carrots are still in the fridge.
Are they really?
Untouched.
We need to throw them away.
Here at the station. I hate to throw them away. That doesn't look like there's anything wrong with them.
Has anyone even opened
scared
them?
Me. I don't think they've ever even been opened. But there's not. I mean, they're just as bright orange as they were.
Okay, bring them in here and we'll taste test them.
Ooh,
right before the top of the hour. I mean, Reuben will taste test them right before.
No,
the
I need Reuben. No, we'll get Crystal in here.
Yeah,
make her and make her do it.
Make her do it. Yeah, you got a point. Oh man,
you just made me laugh. Because right before the storm, they cleaned out the or right after or whatever they cleaned out the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys bought a bunch of stuff because y'all were staying nearby and staying up here.
Mm-hmm. So we had food here. We had sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly.
That pretty much is all gone.
Yeah, everything else is gone. All the snacks are gone.
But nobody's touched the bag of baby carrots.
Bag of baby carrots is still sitting in there. Wow.
We haven't mentioned Senate did vote to fund DHS for the most part.
Yeah, TSA agents will be getting their checks, so that's a good thing. They didn't fund Customs and Border Patrol or ICE. Those two were left out.
What does that tell you? What does that tell you?
Yeah.
How much more of a statement can they make that they couldn't care less about you? All the left cares about are illegals.
Right.
Don't try.
Right.
Stop exporting our votes. Our voter, because they give them driver's license, I'm sorry, drum licenses, and they let them register to vote.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Mm.
That's why Chuck Schumer is livid in holding. He and his
caucus are standing fast.
Mm. Not funding ICE.
Right.
You have to ask yourself why. Why are you so vehemently opposed to deporting people that should not be here, especially rapists and murderers? Why are you fighting for this?
It's a very good point.
Why are you impeding law enforcement? Law enforcement officials who are simply enforcing existing laws. Stop using phrases like Gestapo and Hitler. Stop. These are existing U.S. laws that these men and women are enforcing.
And if you ask the general public, if you go out in front of Target and ask 100 people, hey, do you want the border secure? Vast majority is going to say, yeah.
Of course.
Democrats, Republicans, it won't matter. It won't matter. The vast majority of us want the border secure. Let's not even phrase it that way. We have a process to come in our country. We want that used.
Right.
That's what we want. You want to come here? Great. We have a process. Go do it. That's how you do it. That's how thousands, millions have done it prior. Let's do it that way. Let's not sneak in the dark of night, in trucks or in buses or whatever, or climb under fences. Let's do it the legal way.
And for those who hate Tom Homan, think he's the... Tom Homan's been doing this a long time. In fact, your golden boy, Democrats, awarded him a presidential rank award for his effectiveness with illegal immigration deportations. Yeah, that was awarded by Barack Obama.
Yeah.
To Tom Homan. And now all of a sudden he's Satan's spawn? I don't think so. He's doing his job and he's doing it fantastically. I'm sorry. I'm getting all.
Yeah.
I just got a text. Calm down, Mike.
Settle down there.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Oh, man. But
you got to follow the money.
Right.
Why? Why are you so vehemently opposed? What's the reason?
Yeah, exactly.
That you don't want a sovereign country.
Got to figure it out.
Mike Spence, clerk of court, joining us after the top of the hour. Your deadline to register for the upcoming elections. Do you want to switch parties? Do you want to vote in the Senate election? He'll tell you all about that. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Is Easter, by the way?
A week from Sunday.
Oh, okay, so...
April 5th.
Thank you. Coming up, I just... I remember as a kid, loved Easter egg hunts. Loved getting the Easter basket. Now I'm wondering, where did all that come from?
I know.
What does that have to do with Easter?
Well, the Easter Bunny took care of all that.
Okay.
And, you know, and we thank the Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny is going to spend a lot of money this year. Record spending on Easter is expected this year.
Okay. That doesn't surprise me.
$24.9 billion is spent on Easter stuff. Candy, baskets, clothes, food, the whole nine yards. The previous record was $24 billion. That was in 2023. The reason for the increase this year is, of course, inflation. Prices of things are higher. Prices of fuel are higher. So they're charging more for everything again. So that's kind of why it's going up. The number one item we're buying is candy.
Sure, right.
You know, it's the Easter Bunny spends a ton of money on Easter treats. And all those chocolate eggs and chocolate bunnies and, you know, everything that goes into the basket. On average, though, the average American also, because we'll go out and buy new outfits for Easter and, you know, we'll buy the Easter dinner stuff. We each spend on average $195. I'm not going to spend that much, I don't think.
Well, I hope you don't have children at home.
Well, and that's a good, help me with that, because I'm really thinking about shipping Easter baskets to my kids.
You mean the two grown Marines?
Yeah. 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 Is there something wrong with that?
No. Actually, there
it's
is
okay.
not. Yeah, it's
all
of
right.
course. And you know what? They'd probably love it.
They would probably love it. And I know my one time when I visited one of my sons in the Marines in Hawaii, I did bring plastic Easter eggs with me, and I stuffed them with cash and had an Easter egg hunt. with my son and three of his buddy Marines. They had the best time. They were running around like they were five-year-olds.
Right.
Hunting for those Easter eggs. They were all looking for the golden egg because I put a big bill in there. And they were looking for the golden egg. And it was so fun. They had they turn into kids. When you bring back memories from their childhood,
oh, yes.
They turn into little kids again, which is so cool.
My niece, who's probably near 40 now and has kids of her own, still talks about the Easter egg hunts we used to have when we lived in Bossier. We had 4 acres, so we had a great location, Heidi, yeah. And the family would come over and all the kids would have an Easter egg hunt.
Because my boys, we would go to church, and always for Easter, we got them those cute little pastel suits. You know, they might have white pants, right, or white shorts,
yes,
but
yes,
they'd have the pastel jackets on. And then we'd come home, and lo and behold, the Easter Bunny had set out on an Easter egg hunt.
Oh.
So me as the mom, I'm seeing them running around in the grass.
In their white
pants and these beautiful pastel suits. And I'm thinking, oh, they're going to get them all dirty. I'm going to have to get them dry clean, get grass stains off of them. But I didn't, at one point,
what
I didn't
do you
care.
Do? They're boys.
Yeah, they're boys, and they do what boys do. The only thing was I could always pass one down to the little one the next year.
Right.
Because you know you're not the youngest one's not going to wear it again the next year. They outgrow them. But the big one, I always thought, oh, I can get one more year out of that one. Don't get it all trashed. But anyway, that's the thinkings of a mom.
Clerk of Court Mike Spence joining us after the news top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Caddo Clerk of Court Mike Spence joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Mike, before we get to you, we want to update something that's just happening in South Bossier. School bus involved in a wreck, Johnson Coran Road at Highway 157. No one hurt. So just putting that out there. We're getting a lot of calls. People are concerned. No one injured. Police, sheriff's deputy, state police are actually on the scene. So no kids have been hurt. Everybody will be transported to a different bus and moved on to school. So getting that out of the way. Sorry about that.
Yeah, Bossier Parish PIO spokesman said the kids were checked out. Nobody was transported. Nobody injured.
Nobody injured. So that's good news this morning. The closed party primary system for the May election, where we're going to have Republican Senate candidates and some of the other races on one ballot and the Democrats on another. If people want to vote in that Senate race on the Republican side, which is the hotly contested debate, they have to be either registered Republican or a no party registration, correct?
That is correct.
When is the deadline to make your change? Say that you're a Democrat or you're an independent voter or you're a Green Party voter and you want to vote in that Senate race. What's the deadline to make changes?
It's about a week before the election. What we recommend to everyone is to, if you're going to do that, go ahead and do it now. Get started, be prepared. But everyone's getting a letter from the Secretary of State now to choose if you're a no party, to choose Democrat or Republican. So those letters are going out. They need to answer them quickly. And those that mail vote, those individuals need to make sure they answer this letter, because if they don't, they will not get a ballot.
Okay, what if you just changed to no party? Will you still be getting a request, or can you make your declaration at the voter booth?
You can, when you come to vote, you can make the choice there. And the way we're planning to do it, I'll have a deputy clerk of court at every precinct that I can get an employee, because I don't have as many employees as precincts. But we'll have an employee there. They will assist you. The commissioner will say, go over to this table. You'll fill out the form. Then you'll go back to the front of the line and vote.
So what if somebody is not registered to vote at all, but they want to vote in the upcoming election? What is the deadline to get registered, and how do they go about doing it? Can you do it online, and what documents do you need to go register?
Yes, you can do it online. You can go to the registrar's office. You have several options to do that. we recommend everyone to go to the GoVote app that the Secretary of State has, and it's very simple to do.
Do you need a birth certificate or a proof of residency or citizenship?
Oh, yes. You've got to have your driver's license. There's ways to get around it, but I don't know those. That's a Dale Sibley question, but you don't have to have that.
Okay, interesting.
Are you seeing a lot of people changing their registration, or do you have access to that, or is that a voter registrar issue?
Absolutely. Once this law passed, we have been getting statistics from Sherry Haskey, the Commissioner of Elections, and it's very interesting to see how the voters are moving around. Right now in Louisiana, no parties are sitting at almost 810,000. And wow. When you compare that to Democrats, 1,750,000, and Republicans, 1,053,000. So the numbers are getting real close to being even across the board.
And if we were to look back historically at no parties, what was that number a year ago, 5 years ago?
I don't really have that because we really started getting these statistics when this law passed. But, okay. Of course, we combined independents and no party, we being the legislature. And when that happened, then no party really grew.
Okay. Now, there are several races that are closed primaries. Explain that, because people are going to say, oh, well, the Senate race we know is closed, but there are others as well, right?
Yes, you have a U.S. Senate, U.S. Congress, Supreme Court, and the public service. And, of course, the only one we have on this election is the public service, as the Supreme Court justices were unopposed.
Right. So we have, and I was looking at the ballot this morning, we have two Democrats running for public service commission and two Republicans. So the one of those will win outright on each side and move on to meet each other in the final, right?
Right. They'll have their competition in May 16th, and then they'll shoot over to November 3rd, which is a long wait for the championship.
but in the Senate race, we're likely to have a runoff between the top two Republican vote getters. When will that runoff be?
That'll be June 27th.
So that's a month away, and then the winner of that meets the winner in the Democratic side and the other candidates from other parties in November.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
And when you choose your party, if you're a no-party voter, and we know there's 40,000 of them in Caddo Parish, so that 40,000, when they pick which party they want to choose in the first election, which is May 16th, that's what they have to follow through on June 27th also.
Okay. And then everybody in November gets to vote, obviously, because it's candidates from all parties.
Right.
Okay.
And you know, as we always ask voters, please vote. These type of elections historically across the country are low turnout. So we don't want that in Louisiana. Texas did a good job of getting voters out, but we want to make sure Louisiana voters get out and vote.
Now, the difference between no party and independent, this is kind of confusing. We still have both, correct?
Yes. You just have one. You have no party. There is no independent.
Okay. Well, that's what I was trying to clarify. There's no more independent. It's now called no party.
Right.
But you could also register Green Party, Libertarian Party, and if you're in one of those parties, you don't vote in the Republican primary.
You only get to go to the championship game.
Yeah, you can't declare on Election Day and say, hey, I want to vote in this Republican. You can't unless you're no party or Republican.
Right. And you'd have to change. If you wanted to vote, you would have to change before the deadline with the Registrar of Voters or Secretary of State.
Okay, and then you could change back to Green Party after November if you're insistent. Now, that's my party, but I still want to vote in this election.
Right, you can bounce around, but you have to make that decision at the start. But I want to stress to everyone who mail-in votes, please read the letter, choose your selection of how you want to vote, and mail it in so you get a ballot.
Because otherwise, you won't get a mail-in ballot. You just won't send them out, right?
No, and that's That's a tough one there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but you can still go to the precinct.
What about early
vote?
What about early voting?
Yes, it's the same concept, early voting. You know, the early voting have the more modern machines, and it'll be a little easier for them at that point if you early vote.
I know you're gearing up for a little bit of confusion at the polls. People are going to try to vote in that Senate race and realize they can't, and then they're going to be all upset. So you want them to be prepared now, right?
Right. I have spoken to around 10 groups, and I have several more groups I've been going to speak before. And it's the most engaging groups I've spoke to because people want to know. And you're doing a good job getting the word out, and so are the TV stations. So we're getting at it. So we're going to try our best to make it work good.
Well, sounds good.
Thank you so much.
Mike, thank you for joining us. We hope you have a very good morning.
Thank you. It's always nice to be on your radio show early in the morning.
Thank you, sir.
Mike Spence, County Clerk of Court. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
And we're on. We're like on. Music's over. What are you doing?
Reuben, what did I tell you? Don't start this segment if I'm not ready. Jeepers. I'm working over here. Hold on. Amazon ordered two.
Hey. What are you ordering down there? More of those things?
I'm just kidding. I'm not on Amazon.
I'm getting in trouble.
I'm actually, if you want to know, I'm on the sos.la.gov elections and voting pages.
Ah, okay. We do
because
need
we got it. I was asking Mike Spence about registering to vote if you're not even registered. And we got a message that says, did I hear correctly? You don't have to provide anything to register online? Surely I misunderstood. And
no, you do. You have to put your driver's license number.
You have to have your DROMLAM at least. Yes. But it still seems like I thought they were getting stricter on like citizen requirements.
You have to put your mother's maiden name. You have to put your not only your driver's license number, but your driver's license has what's called an audit number on it. And if you look on your driver's license, kind of in the middle, lower right, there's an audit number on your driver's license. And you'll see that. You have to put that in. You have to put your address.
Hold on, I have to put your name, your maiden name,
and all that. And you got to put all that data in for you to be able to change it online.
Okay, here's my license number, 1234567 8.
Yeah.
My date of birth. 01010001.
Mm-hmm.
And I know. I don't see an audit number.
You have to look.
There it is, yeah. Audit. Okay.
You'll see it.
But that still does, I mean, people are getting driver's licenses that aren't U.S. citizens.
You got a point.
If this is all you need, I'm kind of concerned. So that's what I'm looking into.
You have to tell them you were born in the U.S. You have to say.
Oh, okay. So if we say, yes, I was born in the U.S., yes.
Not appropriate, Mike Martindale. What? Not appropriate.
How is that confirmation?
I know. I get
you,
it.
You just tell them?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Goodness.
Okay.
Latest reports on the school bus wreck in South Bossier. No children hurt. I think McCoy will update that in a sec.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We got an update on the Bossier Parish bus accident. It was a dump truck involved.
Mm-hmm. This is from Sonia Bales, who's the spokesperson for Bossier Parish Schools. We're told that a dump truck headed north on Sligo Road pulled onto Highway 157 and hit the side of bus number 164 that had five Houghton Middle and three Houghton High School students on board. They received bumps and bruises, but thankfully their injuries were minor and they have been released to their guardians. The dump truck also hit a personal vehicle with a parent and a Houghton Middle and Houghton student.
Good grief.
The parent and one of those children were transported. Law enforcement and school district officials are on scene, and they continue to gather more information. I'm sure another bus was called in to get the kids to school. But
I hope they did a sobriety check on this dump truck driver.
No serious injuries. Yeah, did it? I don't know. I guess didn't look properly, perhaps. I'm not sure. But it's a big, big mess down there, Sligo Road and Highway 157. So just keep that in mind this morning. Thankfully, nobody seriously hurt. Thank God.
And no injuries on the school bus. Or no,
bumps and
nobody,
bruises.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody transported or anything.
So thank goodness. Their parents get on edge when you hear about a school bus. I mean, my phone's been blowing up from parents that have kids on school buses down that way. So just FYI. Thankfully, everything is okay.
We talked to Mike Spence, County Clerk of Court, earlier, and he was talking about registering to vote online. And it's just kind of raised some questions. We've got some comments on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. We'll kind of talk about that when we get back from the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
I may be making a tempest in a teacup about all of this. Because I'm sure it can't be just you go online and go,
yep, I'm a U.S. citizen. Let me go vote now.
Let me click this box. I'm on the voter registration site for Louisiana. Online voter registration. Please verify that you are eligible to vote by answering the following questions. Number one, are you a citizen of the United States of America? Well, let me just click this box.
Yep.
See, will you be 18 years of age on or before Election Day? Well, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you currently under an order of imprisonment or for conviction of a felony? No, not that you know of. Are you currently under a judgment of full interdiction or limited interdiction? Blah, blah, blah. Is this right to vote was suspended? No. Save and continue. Okay. Now they're asking for my name, last name, date of birth, gender. They only have two spots for gender. Huh.
Oh, they need to fix that.
Wow. Male, female. Do you have a Louisiana driver's license or Louisiana special ID card? Asking for my license number, my Social Security number. Save. I'm not filling all that out. So maybe they do go into a little more depth, but do you have to have your birth certificate? How do they prove your citizenship?
I'm not sure.
Some of the messages... I love our listeners. Well, you have to sign an affidavit saying where you live and who you are. And you know it's illegal to sign an affidavit and lie, so problem solved.
Right.
Kelly says the thing is they've not passed the Save America Act, so we're still vulnerable to fraud right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
CDL, and I have a chauffeur's license. Because I drove our church bus.
Right.
So I had to get a chauffeur's license. And I've just kept it over the years.
You do have to put your driver's license number in there.
Yes.
And
yeah,
your
I got
audit
to that point.
Number.
Okay.
From your driver's license. And you have to put your mother's maiden
now,
name.
Now, in my case, I have a real ID now. So that supposedly, as Joey says on Friends, is supposed to signify, okay, yes, I'm a U.S. citizen, because you had to provide the documentation to get the real ID.
Right.
Joey says CDL requires alcohol and drug test post-accident. I guess talking about the bus, the bus crash, not the drum. So, yeah, very interesting. I guess we're a red state. We're not going to, because we know, Aaron, specifically in California, people have been issued drum licenses that aren't U.S. citizens.
Yes, exactly.
And allowed to vote.
We're going to have a mess in May. I'm just telling you. And I think they all know, because everyone's going to go to the polls and they think they're going to be able to vote in that Senate race. And if they're not registered Republican or no party, Democrats previously been able to vote in that.
Right.
They've been able to go vote in this U.S. Senate race. So they're going to go thinking they're going to vote for Julia Letlow or John Fleming or Bill Cassidy. And they're not going to be able to vote. And they're going to be told, well, you're a registered Democrat or you're a registered Libertarian. You can't vote. And it's a closed primary now. People are not going to understand. We can preach this for another 2 months.
But the people that listen to us will be informed.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, not everybody listens to us.
Right. You're right. You're right.
And like now, you said, you can stand out in front of Target and you can ask 100 people coming up in the election. First of all, I'd be interested to know how many are actually going to go vote.
You're right. There'd be few.
When you ask the regular standard citizen.
Yeah. Do you know what's on the ballot in May? They'll have no clue.
Do you know what's on the ballot? Do you have the Go Vote download, the Go Vote app downloaded to your phone?
No, they'll say no.
Are you registered? That would be interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then do you realize, you're a registered Libertarian, you can't vote in the primary?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What? I can't vote?
But think about it this way, because this one's going to be interesting, because what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of Democrats register as either Republican or no party, because they want to vote in this Senate race. They want to have a say between Cassidy,
they
Fleming.
They can vote for their candidate.
They can say no party, and then they can go vote, or they can register Republican. But what's going to happen is these folks are going to bounce back and forth. Let's say the next race is there's several Democratic candidates in the running, and you want to vote on that side. Well, before that race starts, you can change your registration to Democrat.
See, and I don't think that should be allowed. And I don't think it should be allowed if you register no party. Well, I'm sorry. This is a Republican primary. You are no party. You can't vote in this primary. You have to be registered.
Don't say that because you can. People are going to hear you say that you can.
I'm saying I don't think it should be allowed because it opens it up to this.
Well, the problem with no party is that there are a lot of people that are independent. They might think and feel Republican on certain issues. They might think and feel Democrat on other issues. So part of them is Republican, part of them is Democrat. They don't want to be one or the other. They want to be down the middle.
But this is a closed primary.
Yes, but would
either it's closed or it isn't.
Would you tell me that the three primary candidates for the Republican Senate race are all hardcore Republicans? No.
No.
So shouldn't people that vote and think like some of those candidates be able to vote in that race?
Then don't have a closed primary.
Well, that
why,
wasn't...
Why
that,
do we have closed
that
primaries?
That wasn't my doing. That wasn't the public's doing.
I'm just asking. Why are we having closed primaries if you can just go online and change your registration and go vote in it anyway?
And that's
then go back later and change again.
That's what's going to happen.
It's a bunch of bullshnoz.
Going back and forth. Watch.
Right. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Looking at the Shreveport Security Systems message board. By the way, if you do want to connect with us, that's how you do it. Send us a message. You have to download the free Keel app. First of all, it's absolutely free. We're not gonna bombard you with a lot of ads or crap like that. Brian from Bossier said, I believe Moon brought that issue up with Nancy Landry, talking about people just switching parties between elections.
Mm-hmm. That's gonna happen.
The message, Brian says, if I remember right, folks can't switch back and forth during the same election cycle.
Nope.
There isn't time to switch after the initial closed primary, but before the runoff, and the same before the general. So in this particular election cycle, you have to stay say, well, not independent, but no party.
Through the November election.
Through the November. You can't go back later.
Right.
But now, next election, you can.
Say next year there's a Supreme Court race in our area, and there's several Democratic candidates, and you switch to Republican this time, and you want to vote in the Democratic Party primary next time. You can switch to Democrat or to no party, yep. And you can vote in that election next time. That's kind of the way it's going to happen. And, I mean, the easiest way is to switch to no party. And then you can declare before each election which party you want to vote in. So you, because if you declare, say you switch to no party this time.
Okay.
And you declare you want to vote in the Republican Party primary for this election.
Right.
That's not declaring what you want to vote in future elections.
But you cannot go back during the runoff.
Right.
And change it. You still have to stay with...
Right. You have to stay with the Republican Party.
Right.
And to be quite blunt, if you miss the May election and you vote as a Democrat and you don't get to vote in the first go, you've missed the window. So you can't go vote in the runoff between whether it's Cassidy and Fleming or Cassidy and Letlow or whatever. You've missed the window. So you need to get it done now. If you want to vote in that race, because otherwise you're going to miss the window and you won't be allowed to vote. So just keep that in mind, because it's people are going to be really confused.
Gonna be.
Yeah, they're gonna be. It's going to be a little bit of a mess.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's more convoluted than it needs to be.
Well, they wanted closed primaries. They're going to get it, and it's going to take there's a learning curve.
North Shreveport Representative Danny McCormick is going to join us. He wants to do a water study in light of the data centers in North Shreveport. We'll hear what he's got to say right after the news, top of the hour. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty. .1017 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Representative from Oil City, Danny McCormick, joining us. Danny, good morning, sir.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Very, very well. Thanks for joining us. Your House Resolution 20, asking for a water study concerning large amounts of water being withdrawn from Caddo Lake because of the data center. Where are you on this?
Well, we just got started. It was introduced this week. The Department of Conservation and Energy just recently last year got control over the water bodies in Louisiana as far as water goes. So we're just starting the study. Learned a lot of interesting facts that, right offhand, like, for instance, a million gallons of water a day is about what 10,000 people would use, and kind of gives you a little bit of, of idea how much water that is. We don't know the answer to the question is, how much water does Caddo Lake use and get used up in evaporation every day? Even though that's a large amount of water, we don't know if it's going to have any damage to the lake whatsoever or have any negative effects whatsoever to the lake. But I'm looking forward with the department of moving forward with this study and finding out for the people if it has any negative effects on Caddo Lake.
Well, Caddo Lake is a large lake, but isn't it a relatively shallow lake?
Yeah, that's correct. It's very shallow, always has been. It's about 25,000 acres, which is huge. A lot of it in Louisiana, and in Texas too. Another concern is, most of the water we get, the runoff, comes from Texas. Texas has a water problem of their own, and we want to make sure we're being good stewards of the water, because we don't want Texas shipping, sucking water out of Lake of Pines, sending it to Dallas and shorting us downstream. So we want to make sure we work with Texas and be good stewards of the water. And make sure we're not abusing our resource, but we do want to encourage industry in the area also, and our natural resources like our water is one thing to attract them here.
Now, is this concerning only Caddo Lake or other bodies of water in our area?
No, my resolution H.R. 20 you know, if people want to follow along, they can go to McCormick4LA.com, sign up to get my weekly newsletters. But this is only formulated towards Caddo Lake. You know, the question when the new data center was coming to rural Caddo Parish and going to be using Blanchard water to run their system, that's when the concerns come up. And what we did learn, too, is we don't know a lot. We don't have lots of information. This is something that needs to be done, and I'm looking forward, you know, to getting the results from the study.
Danny, let me ask you, when you say results, what questions do you want answered specifically?
Specifically, I want to know if we're going, how much water we can draw out of Caddo Lake without having a negative effect on the lake. But what we know, Aaron, is this, is we don't know what water is being drawn out of Caddo Lake right now. Well, we don't have the mechanism in place to even gather information to know how much of it is being drawn out. So we have to get those numbers together at a state level, and then we can determine through a study whether these what number would have a negative effect on the lake. But I will say my preliminary numbers and my talks I've done with people in Shreveport, I'm less concerned today than I was 3 weeks ago, you know. But I want the facts to know if there will be any negative effect.
Explain why you're less concerned.
I'm less concerned because we talked about the closed water systems on the data centers, how they're going to recycle most of the water, and I don't know that a million gallons a day is that much water when you talk about evaporation. It's my understanding there may be tens of millions of gallons of water that evaporate on a summer day. So what's, you know, if we're getting another million, would that be of a concern or not? And that's what we got to decide.
Danny, I've had thoughts in my brain in the last week or so after seeing the study request. Not as much concerned about the water as the infrastructure. If all of a sudden you now have to pump a million gallons a day through these old lines, and I'm including Shreveport too, and Blanchard, and now you're pumping another million gallons a day through these old lines, that means these lines are working harder, and we know they're elderly. That is a concern too. How do we gauge whether the infrastructure can handle this much more water?
And that's a good question, Aaron, and I don't know the answer to that question. I've had phone calls with LDH about this issue and my concerns with the Blanchard water system and all the outages they have. I did a public records request with Blanchard to try to find out information. I haven't been able to get any information from Blanchard on what exactly the terms of their contract are, what they're going to be doing. The town of Blanchard, the mayor Blanchard, is not communicating well to the public, you know, what the situation is. And I really have no answers to those questions, sadly to say.
Because that would be my number one concern. You might have plenty of water in Caddo Lake, but you're pumping it through lines that are 50, 60, 70 years old, and those lines can't handle that much more work.
I agree. You're exactly right. And as of right now, that lays completely on the town of Blanchard and the mayor Blanchard. And at right now, in the position I am, I have don't have any control over any of those issues, and that's concerning to me. And you know, that's a big concern. I agree. If you're pumping water out, if you're pumping a million gallons a day to the data center and 3 million a day out on the ground, you know, we're wasting more water than we're actually using.
We're talking with State Rep Danny McCormick from Oil City. Danny, do you know who would be doing the study, and how long will it take to get results?
Well, it's going to be the Department of Conservation and Energy in Baton Rouge, which is where I like to go. You know, it's their job to represent the people. You know, the information we've been getting is from people that represent the data center. That's the conflict of interest, in my opinion. So they're the ones that are going to be doing the study. And we've got a long way to go before we can get this study done, because we've got to put something in place to gather the information of how much water we're using now. We don't know the answer to this question. There's nothing in place to gauge how much water we're actually using now.
State Representative Danny McCormick, thanks for your time, sir.
You bet, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Is Easter earlier this year? Is it early? I mean, this is Palm Sunday coming up.
Yes, it is. And Easter's next Sunday.
Yeah.
And it is a smidge early.
It seems like, wow, bam, Easter's here.
I know. Easter's here in about a week.
Yeah.
It'll be here. And Lent will be over, and then I'm going to go live in a vat of mashed potatoes. And you know, Reuben, I'm mad at you today because I went to Bella Fresca yesterday, and Bella Fresca has lots of dishes that they serve. The side is whipped potatoes.
I thought that
would be different, but you voted no.
No, it's the same thing.
It's whipped potatoes or mashed potatoes.
Jesus knows that they're the same thing. You can't trick Jesus that easily.
You can't? No. Oh, no.
So you can't hold out on a technicality?
Well, no.
That says these are whipped potatoes.
They're different than mashed.
They're not mashed potatoes.
Oh, man. And I actually haven't had any potatoes the whole month. I think I had one baked potato. And when I told my friends I gave up mashed potatoes, they were like, hey, you can't have a baked potato. So I decided I better.
Because what do you do when you do a baked potato? You load it with butter, then you start mashing it all down.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah. So today was my normally on in the mornings I get up and I have a couple pieces of bacon, a couple of boiled eggs to start the day, and I can't have the bacon today, so I had an extra protein shake, and I'll have mac and cheese for lunch because it's a no meat day. Or I'll have fish. I'll go. Blessed Sacrament, by the way, the church in Allendale, the best fish and potato salad. Oh, my goodness.
Ooh.
And it's like $10. So I'm shout out to Blessed Sacrament. They do a great lunchtime fish fry on Fridays during Lent.
I might run by there.
A lot of, yeah, it's a good deal. And you get green beans. You get bread. You actually get cake with it, too.
Ooh.
You get a little side of cake. So it's a good deal. Real good. I think for $12, you get an extra fish or something. I'm not sure. Yeah. You're getting hungry now, aren't you?
Thank you.
Starving.
Exactly. Thank you. Some of us, as you well know, have been up since 4, haven't had breakfast yet.
Why do you not eat something in the morning?
I don't know. Because I love breakfast.
Time.
My favorite meal of the day.
Make time for breakfast.
And then, of course, dinner.
My doctors all want me to eat in the morning.
I know. Me
eat,
too.
Eat something healthy in the morning.
Now, in my office, I do have, or I don't at the moment, raisins and nuts, kind of a trail mix kind of stuff, because that's good. That's protein in the morning, and that'll help alleviate that. You just keep the blood sugar balanced and all that good stuff. But let me go back to the potatoes for just a moment.
Okay.
When you do a baked potato, first of all, I have the best way to cook a baked potato. And take that damned foil off and out. Don't use foil, first of all.
Really?
And if you're operating a restaurant, if you're an owner or a manager, do not bring a baked potato wrapped in foil to my table.
Oh, I agree.
Take the foil off of the potato before you serve it.
I agree.
What the hell?
I know.
Okay, going back to the potato.
How are we cooking it? You
take a fork and poke a bunch of holes all the way around it.
Gotcha.
Then you take oil and you coat it in an oil.
Like olive oil or whatever oil
Olive oil is what I use.
Okay.
Then you take like not just salt from your salt shaker, but a sea salt.
Okay. Coarser. Yeah.
A coarser. There. That's the word I was looking for. A coarser salt and cover it liberally and then put it directly in the oven and cook it for like at 350 or so for 45 minutes or so. Aaron, it is crispy on the outside, that oil, and then it's fluffy and soft on the inside. Best baked potato you'll ever have in your life.
I'll have to try that. I'll have to try that. Okay.
So good.
Now, when you
put it on your plate, what do you put on your baked potato? How do you fix it? Because I'll tell you what I do, and you probably wouldn't guess.
The only thing I don't want on it, well, there's two things I don't want on it. I don't want bacon on it, and I don't want cheese on it.
Ooh, what's wrong with
I want sour cream, chives, butter.
Okay.
That's what I want on it.
Have you ever had ranch dressing?
No, I don't like ranch dressing. Ranch dressing should be outlawed.
It's so good.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, I know. I love it too.
It's delicious.
On a baked potato, it's pretty excellent.
No.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Ranch dressing's gross.
Oh, man.
Not a fan.
I've been spoiled by the barbecue joint baked potatoes where they just load it up with meat.
That's, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Loaded up with pulled pork and everything.
Go to Jason's. Get that baked, that cowboy baked potato or something. Shut up.
Now y'all are messing with me. I can't have any meat today.
I'm hungry. I am going to miss a fundraiser tonight that I am so disappointed missing. I'll have to get them some money anyway.
Yeah.
We talked about it last year, the non-golf tournament.
Oh, cool. It's coming up.
It is so much fun. Jeff Luce, he's going to join us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline after the news. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, our good friend Jeff Luce joining us. Jeff, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, man. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Well, we're glad you jumped on tonight. This is such a fun event. It's Camp Fuego's non-golf golf tournament. It's a golf tournament where you don't need a club.
Correct, yes.
How did you come up with this?
You know, years ago, I had a good friend, Adam Young, who was working with David Toms, and I went to Adam because I knew that there were golf tournaments out there that were making, you know, really doing great things for a lot of organizations. FCA is just one of the ones that has a successful golf tournament. And I asked him, I was like, Adam, so could you help us set up a golf tournament? And Adam said, well, yeah, we can. But truthfully, you know, for most golf tournaments, the course makes the most money off of it. And he said, Jeff, with your personality, which was clearly an insult, he said, you ought to do something like a non-golf golf tournament. And I was like, oh, that's genius. Yes, because I don't play golf. I don't know any. So basically what we decided is we were going to have the closing banquet for a golf tournament that doesn't exist.
I love it.
And that is how we came up. So really what it is it's a trivia contest. We have nine trivia questions that are our nine holes, and we get hole sponsors. We have a longest drive contest where really it's just whoever drove the furthest to get there. And they win whatever it is that it cost me to fill up my truck this week, you know? So, it was,
well, tell me,
$132.
This is a fundraiser for Camp Fuego. And so give me a real quick Reader's Digest synopsis of Camp Fuego.
Yeah. So basically we are a camp that tries to reach kids, no matter what their economic status is. We just need a time to bring these kids away from a cell phone and from internet, and just give them a chance to hear about Jesus for 5 days. And last summer we saw 4,990 kids. They came from 17 states, but look, of course, the majority of those kids are from Louisiana. And we have volunteers who come in and work all summer. We figured it out. Just the volunteers, they're giving 14,752 hours over those 9 weeks of camp. And it's been super encouraging, and watching just life change in these kids where, I mean, you literally see a kid who has been in a really tough family, tough situation. And now this is our 29th summer. And so we've seen these kids where they've gone from those situations to the point where they are doing ministry. They are loving life. They have families. Matter of fact, we've had campers who are children of campers.
Wow.
And so, so it's an exciting time, and it's really cool after this number of years to be able to see the life change that happens.
Okay, Jeff, where's the event and when?
Yeah, thank you. So it'll be at First Baptist Houghton tonight in their Family Life Center, and it's at 6:30. And literally, tickets are $25, but it's a contribution. So if you just want to show up, we're going to let you in either way. And we have catfish that is delicious. Hey, what better place to be tonight, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you were looking for fish places already.
Yeah.
And so this is even cheaper than $10, you know, so it's free.
What a great event.
Yeah, and thank you. And we're excited about it. But thank you guys for allowing me to talk about it.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much. And good luck tonight.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, thank you guys.
Talk to you soon. Coming up, Mike Spence, Caddo Clerk of Court, breaks down the upcoming elections. What do you need to do to register or maybe change party? Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Caddo Clerk of Court, Mike Spence, joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Mike, before we get to you, we want to update something that's just happening in South Bossier. School bus involved in a wreck, Johnson Coran Road at Highway 157. No one hurt. So just putting that out there. We're getting a lot of calls. People are concerned. No one injured. Police, sheriff's deputy, state police are actually on the scene. So no kids have been hurt. Everybody will be transported to a different bus and moved on to school. So getting that out of the way. Sorry about that.
Yeah, Bossier Parish PIO spokesman said the kids were checked out. Nobody was transported. Nobody injured.
Nobody injured. So that's good news this morning. The closed party primary system for the May election, where we're going to have Republican Senate candidates and some of the other races on one ballot and the Democrats on another. If people want to vote in that Senate race on the Republican side, which is the hotly contested debate, they have to be either a registered Republican or a no party registration, correct?
That is correct.
When is the deadline to make your change? Say that you're a Democrat or you're an independent voter or you're a Green Party voter and you want to vote in that Senate race. What's the deadline to make changes?
It's about a week before the election. What we recommend to everyone is to, if you're going to do that, go ahead and do it now. Get started, be prepared. But everyone's getting a letter from the Secretary of State now to choose, if you're a no party, to choose Democrat or Republican. So those letters are going out. They need to answer them quickly. And those that mail vote, those individuals need to make sure they answer this letter, because if they don't, they will not get a ballot.
Okay, what if you just changed to no party? Will you still be getting a request, or can you make your declaration at the voter booth?
You can, when you come to vote, you can make the choice there. And the way we're planning to do it, I'll have a deputy clerk of court at every precinct that I can get an employee, because I don't have as many employees as precincts. But we'll have an employee there. They will assist you. The commissioner will say, go over to this table. You'll fill out the form. Then you'll go back to the front of the line. And
so what if somebody is not registered to vote at all, but they want to vote in the upcoming election? What is the deadline to get registered, and how do they go about doing it? Can you do it online, and what documents do you need to go register?
Yes, you can do it online. You can go to the registrar's office. You have several options to do that. We recommend everyone to go to the GoVote app that the Secretary of State has, and it's very simple to do.
Do you need a birth certificate or a proof of residency or citizenship?
Oh, yes. You've got to have your driver's license. There's ways to get around it, but I don't know those. That's a Dale Sibley question, but you don't have to have that.
Okay, interesting.
Are you seeing a lot of people changing their registration? Do you have access to that, or is that a voter registrar issue?
Absolutely. Once this law passed, we have been getting statistics from Sherry Haskey, the Commissioner of Elections. And it's very interesting to see how the voters are moving around. Right now in Louisiana, no parties are sitting at almost
810,000. And wow. When you compare that to Democrats, 1,750,000, and Republicans, 1,053,000. So the numbers are getting real close to being even across the board.
And if we were to look back historically at no parties, what was that number a year ago, 5 years ago?
I don't really have that because we really started getting these statistics when this law passed. Of course, we combined independents and no party, we being the legislature. And when that happened, then no party really grew.
Okay. Now, there are several races that are closed primaries. Explain that, because people are going to say, oh, well, the Senate race we know is closed, but there are others as well, right?
Yes. You have a U.S. Senate, U.S. Congress, Supreme Court, and the public service. And, of course, the only one we have on this election is the public service, as the Supreme Court justices were unopposed.
Right. So we have, and I was looking at the ballot this morning, we have two Democrats running for Public Service Commission and two Republicans. So one of those will win outright on each side and move on to meet each other in the final, right?
Right. They'll have their competition in May 16th, and then they'll shoot over to November 3rd, which is a long wait for the championship.
But in the Senate race, we're likely to have a runoff between the top two Republican vote getters. When will that runoff be?
That'll be June 27th.
So that's a month away. And then the winner of that meets the winner in the Democratic side and the other candidates from other parties in November.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And when you choose your party, if you're a no party voter, and we know there's 40,000 of them in Caddo Parish. So that 40,000, when they pick which party they want to choose in the first election, which is May 16th, that's what they have to follow through on June 27th also.
Okay. And then everybody in November gets to vote, obviously, because it's candidates from all parties.
Right.
Okay.
And you know, as we always ask voters, please vote. These type of elections historically across the country are low turnout. So we don't want that in Louisiana. Texas did a good job of getting voters out, but we want to make sure Louisiana voters get out and vote.
Now, the difference between no party and independent, this is kind of confusing. We still have both, correct?
Yes. You just have one. You have no party. There is no independent.
Okay. Well, that's what I was trying to clarify. There's no more independent. Yes. It's now called no party.
Right.
But you could also register Green Party, Libertarian Party, and if you're in one of those parties, you don't vote in the Republican primary.
You only get to go to the championship game.
Yeah, you can't declare on election day and say, hey, I want to vote in this Republican. You can't unless you're no party or Republican.
Right. Right. And if you wanted to vote, you would have to change before the deadline with the Registrar of Voters or Secretary of State.
Okay. And then you could change back to Green Party after November if you're insistent that that's my party, but I still want to vote in this election.
Right. You can bounce around, but you have to make that decision at the start. But I want to stress to everyone who mail-in votes, please read the letter, choose your selection of how you want to vote, and mail it in so you get a ballot.
Because otherwise you won't get a mail-in ballot. You just won't send them out, right?
No, and that's a tough one there.
Mm-hmm.
You can still go to the precinct.
What about
early vote?
What about early voting?
Yes, it's the same concept. Early voting, you know, the early voting have the more modern machines, and it'll be a little easier for them at that point if you early vote.
I know you're gearing up for a little bit of confusion at the polls. People are going to try to vote in that Senate race and realize they can't, and then they're going to be all upset. So you want them to be prepared now, right?
Right. I have spoken to around 10 groups, and I have several more groups I've been going to speak before, and it's the most engaging groups I've spoke to because people want to know. And you're doing a good job getting the word out, and so are the TV stations. So mm-hmm.
We're getting at it, so we're going to try to our best to make it work good.
Well, thank sounds
you.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Mike, thank you for joining us. We hope you have a very good morning.
Thank you. It's always nice to be on your radio show early in the morning.
Thank you, sir.
Mike Spence, County Clerk of Court. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Oh, more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Got to apologize to my boys ahead of time for this, okay?
This is Palm Sunday coming
yes.
up. Yes. Already.
Palm Sunday brings up really rough memories for me.
Rough memories?
Yes, it does. Because when we would walk in church, my boys are all dolled up. You know, they're looking good. It's Easter Sunday's coming up the next week, so they look cute on Palm Sunday. And we go in, and then Catholic Mass, they give you each a palm. When okay. you walk in the door, you get a palm, and you take it to your pew where you're seated. And almost every year, my boys would be kind of standing in the pew behind me. You know, they're in the pew with me, but they're little bitty tykes. And I would turn.
Okay, so this wasn't last year.
No, this wasn't last year. It probably could have been.
Right.
But they'd be standing, and they would have their palms up, and they'd be sword fighting each other. This well, happened over and over again on Palm Sunday. So I'm mortified. Everybody around us is busting up laughing because they think it's cuter than heck. These two little tykes, four, 5-year-old boys, sword fighting with the palms from Jesus. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm mortified. And I thought, God's just going to be so upset about this. But you said, no.
No, he's not.
God's not upset about
of
that.
Of course not.
I don't think I'm the only mom whose boys... sword fighted with the palms right. on Palm Sunday. But, yeah, it was an every-year thing.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.